Pearl Church exists to express a sacred story and to extend a common table that animate life by love. A primary expression of our sacred story is the weekly sermon. If our sermons inspire you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully, would you consider supporting our work? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.
Today we're going to consider the story of humanity's tower. Once upon a time, we rented an old beach house that had a VCR. Remember those? Asher was about 5 years old, and when we put the video in to watch the movie, I realized that it needed to be rewound, and so I pushed rewind. After waiting for just a few seconds, Asher advised, "Dada, push play." I said, "Yeah, just a minute, buddy." A few more seconds went by, and Asher said with a little more energy, "Dada, push play." Yes, almost there. Exasperated, he implored, "Dada, push play." And in that moment, I realized that we were having our very first generational moment. For his entire life, he had known nothing but push play. There was no such thing as rewind. He hadn't seen anything be rewound over the course of his five-year life. You just push play. Gone were the days of fax machines, pagers, dial-up internet service, phones on walls, and busy signals. There is no pause. There is no waiting. You just push play. When Jen and I first met, she had the most amazing piece of technology I had ever seen in the glove box of her car. It was about 3 inches thick, about 7 inches long, and it was to be used for emergencies only. It was an analog phone. Do you remember these? It was so big that you had to screw off the antenna because that was like 7 inches on its own just to be able to fit it in to the glove box, which was no problem at all because you could call people on a phone from your car. That was absolutely amazing. And being like a brick, you could use it as a weapon in self-defense. It was amazing. You've probably heard of Gen X and millennials. Anyone here of Xennials? Have you ever heard of a Xennial? A few hands? Yeah. Happy birthday, Heather, by the way. Yes, I'm a Xennial. Xennials are a microgeneration stuck between Generation X and millennials that has gained attention in recent years. Xennials are those born on the cusp of when Gen Xers and millennials meet. And so we experienced world events and especially technology in unique ways particular to our age. According to Pew Research, members of Generation X were born between 1965 and 1980. Millennials were born between 1981 and 1996. Xennials, so it's said, were born in the middle of these time frames, between 1977 and 1983. Merriam-Webster flagged Xennial as one of its words we're watching in 2017, meaning that it was being increasingly used but had yet to meet the dictionary's criteria for entry. Those of us born in the fuzzy borderline between Gen X and Millennial are old enough to have logged into our first email addresses in college. We use social media but can remember life without it. The internet was not a part of our childhoods, but computers existed in some form, and there was something special about the opportunity to use them. Xennials got cell phones later in life, used dial-up modems to do school research, made mixtapes for crushes, and played the Oregon Trail for learning in elementary school. As Dan Woodman, a sociology professor of the University of Melbourne, puts it, the timing of this microgeneration's upbringing created a particularly unique experience. You have a childhood, youth, and adolescence free of having to worry about social media posts and mobile phones. It was a time when we had to organize to catch up with our friends on the weekends using a landline and actually pick a time and place to turn up then. But then we hit this technology revolution before that frazzled adult period of life, giving us a little bit of time to learn these new technologies. Xennials. We are a unique breed created by our particularly unique experiences. And yet, isn't that true for every person? Every generation, we are all unique creations according to our particularly unique experiences. And thinking about this in context to technology, well, I remember my grandparents talking about how their parents were totally out of it when it came to technology. And I remember my parents thinking their parents were totally out of it when it came to technology. And I remember thinking and continue to think that my parents are totally out of it when it comes to technology. And my kids sometimes call me boomer, which has nothing to do with when I was born. The gist of it is that I am totally out of it. Technology. Technology refers to the application of knowledge for practical purposes, especially in industry. And that is exactly what we see in the story about humanity's tower. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. In the beginning of this ancient story, we see a technological advancement with the use of the word brick in Hebrew, levana. This is the very first time that we see this word used in the Bible. But not only did they have brick, they had mortar. And using this technological advancement of brick and mortar, the people were able to build a tower higher than ever before. And here's why they wanted to build a tower higher than ever before. Verse 4, then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Let's use technology to build a tower that exists to keep us together. Let's use technology to build a tower that exists to keep us together. Now, remember from previous weeks in this sermon series, ancient people told stories to try and make sense of their world. And that's exactly what we're seeing here in this story. In this story, Israel is trying to explain why humans speak different languages. And in this sermon series, I've explained that Israel was surrounded by other nations that told their own stories about the world. And we've observed how Israel alters those stories. They change those stories to try and make their own meaning. With all of this in mind, there's a Sumerian epic titled "In Merkur and the Lord Arada." In this epic, we're told that there was no snake, no scorpion, no fear, no terror. Man had no rival. The whole universe, the people in unison to Enlil. Enlil was one of their gods. And to Enlil, the epic explains, spoke in one tongue. And the epic goes on, Enki, the leader of the gods, then chose to change the speech in their mouths, brought contention into it, into the speech of man that had until then been one. In the Sumerian epic, the god Enki is to blame for humans speaking different languages. Similarly, in Israel's storytelling, God is charged with being the reason for humans scattering all over the face of the earth. Verses 5 to 9. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, and the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, they have one language. This is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from all over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. In both of these ancient stories, divinity is to be blamed for the scattering. And again, this was very normal storytelling for ancient people. What's interesting in the story, I think, are the differences between the stories. In the Sumerian epic, Enki just nonchalantly decides to change one language into many languages, and that tells us something about the gods. But in Israel's telling, there's something more profound going on. Listen to the first two verses of Israel's story again. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words, and as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Shinar is an ancient name referring to a place that was also known as Babylonia. in the Inmusha Elish, a Babylonian creation myth, the building of Babylon and its spectacular temple tower are celebrated. Now, please stick with me. I'm going to bring it together here, and this is where it starts to get really good. All of these stories were being told throughout Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq, which Israel was living within and around, very close to the time that Israel got crushed by the Babylonian Empire. And so, Israel most certainly knew about Babylon's technologically advanced city and tower. They knew all about it. And they most certainly knew about Enki, who changed one language into many languages. And so bringing these stories together, Israel casts a narrative that critiques the technological advancement of the Babylonian Empire as a way to keep people together. And turning this idea on its head, this ancient story explains that it's the technological advancement of empires that very often tears people apart. Now we're starting to get somewhere, aren't we? Social media. Emphasis on social. Social media, it's a medium of communication that helps us to connect socially. I'll say that again, and then afterward you can say amen. It's a medium of communication that helps us to connect socially. Amen. In 2022, the social media app market was valued at just shy of $50 billion. That's quite an empire, isn't it? In 2023, an estimated 4.9 billion people used social media. It's projected that nearly 6 billion people will be using social media by 2027. According to the statistics, the more a person uses social media, the more a person is likely to begin experiencing or to have increased experiences of self-harm, anxiety, depression, and eating disorders. And studies show that social media is often addictive, which only worsens all of these very human struggles. Social media usage is being linked to an increase in division, politically especially. And quite ironically, the mere presence of a smartphone, which is supposed to help us stay connected, decreases meaningful in-person interaction when it sits atop a table as two humans are trying to connect in person. Now, to be clear, I'm not proposing that we stick our heads in the sand, abandon technology, run for the hills. Technology is amazing, right? Washer machines? Yes. Give me a washer machine. Toasters? Yes. Air conditioners? Well, not 20 years ago, but now, yes. Indoor plumbing? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There's an amen. And smartphones? My goodness, directions, weather, pictures, updates of all kind, paperless tickets, banking. I could go on and on about the goodness of technological advancement. But technological advancement as a primary means for keeping humans together. Well, what if that's just not one of the primary functions of technology? And what if, when we attempt to make technology a primary mechanism for our togetherness, our tower of community is more likely to fall, and we are more likely to scatter and suffer? Earlier in the sermon, I mentioned that Genesis 11 is the first place that we see the word brick used in the Bible. Do you know where we see that word used next, the second time? Exodus chapter 1. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick. Could it be possible that technological advancements have the potential to not only hinder our togetherness, but at times to burden us and maybe even enslave us? Okay, boomer, what's the answer? What's the answer to our togetherness? Well, I don't think it's so much of an answer as it is a way. In this morning's reading from the New Testament, we heard these words from Ephesians. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. You see, technological advancement is amazing, amazing in so many ways. But when it comes to humans living life together, no advancement is as great as the advancement of humility and gentleness and patience and love. That's what keeps humans together. In Acts chapter 2, the Spirit of Jesus, which is to say the Spirit of love, love descends from heaven and fills Jesus' followers. They then run out into the streets and begin speaking to people who speak all kinds of different languages. And the story tells us that everyone was amazed because everyone heard the disciples declaring the wonders of God in their own tongue, the tongue of love. And 1 Peter chapter 2 explains that Jesus' love makes us into living stones, being built into a spiritual house that is filled with a holy priesthood that mediates love in this world. Love. You see, the advancement of love is what builds humans up. The advancement of love is what binds humans together. The advancement of love is what results in the union of all things, manifesting God's dream of peace on earth. It's love. In conclusion, I'd like to invite you with me one more time up to that candy cane house. Will you go with me?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. So get outside of your old body. Get outside of your life today. Go back to that 10-year-old child who just sat at the feet of humans and took in their stories into your deepest parts. Up the hill, across the driveway, around the side, there's a gate leading to soft green grass shaded by 3 huge fir trees. And we are seated on a hand-stitched quilt. We're handed buttery graham crackers to munch on and cold apple juice to drink in Dixie cups to wash it all down. The nicest woman with the warmest eyes stands before us, and with the divine story of humanity's tower on her lips, we sit transfixed as she tells us, a long time ago, people used a new technology called bricks to build a huge tower. And their hope was that it would help them stay together. This makes me think about last Christmas when my dad gave my mom a 30-foot phone cord, and now she can walk all over the house while talking to her friends. But then the teacher tells us that the tower fell over. And she tells us that technology can sometimes cause humans to lose each other. And this makes me think about my mom being on the phone a lot more and how I sometimes miss her. Sometimes I wish she could just be with me when she's with me and not on that phone with that big old cord. And then she says very seriously but warmly and kindly that technology can sometimes cause harm. And I get that for sure. I remember how excited my brother John and I were to get that Commodore 64. We were so excited about that. We were going to play it together all of the time. That's what we told our parents. You get that for us for Christmas, you'll never see us again. We'll be in the room and we'll be playing it all the time. And now we fight all the time. We can't even play it together. Now we have 30-minute turns and we're all alone in our bedroom. Then the teacher says, technology can weigh us down like a brick in our pocket. And this really cracks me up, a brick in my pocket. I mean, who would ever choose to carry around some heavy thing in their pants? And then she asks, do you want to have a good relationship with your family? And we all shake our heads, yes. And she asks, do you want to have a good relationship with your friends? And of course we do. And she asks, would you like to see the whole world at peace? Well, I've been afraid of nuclear bombs for years now. And I feel afraid about it. She says, lean in, I'm going to tell you a secret. We all lean in so far, we almost tip over. And she says, fruit. What? She says, fruit. It's a whole bunch of fruit. There's 9 kinds. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You eat that fruit, the whole world can change. She said, with that fruit, there's nothing bad. And that's a pretty long list, but I have so many phone numbers memorized, I decided 9 words is no problem and worth it. I mean, who doesn't want good relationships? Who doesn't want a good world? I'd certainly rather have a good world than a big old tower that's really more like a brick in my pocket. I really want to eat that fruit for the rest of my life. Will you pray with me? Divine love, please use this story of a tower to free us from scattering and separating and fill us all with ever-increasing love until we become that which we all really want, which is to be one.
We hope that this sermon inspired you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully. If you don't already support our work, will you begin today? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.